Scripture, the book of Daniel this morning. The Old Testament, the book of Daniel. Daniel, chapter number 3. If you don't have a Bible and you need one, you can raise your hand. We'll get you one, or you can see us after church and we'll put one in your hands. Daniel chapter 3 is where we'll be. Again, it's good to be here this morning. It's good to see you here this morning. Sure thankful for the Lord being here this morning. Singing sounded good, and I'm glad we've got one we can sing to this morning. I wasn't singing to you, and I hope you weren't singing to me, but I believe we're trying to make a joyful noise for the Lord this morning. Amen. I knew you'd amen me, Brother Danny. Daniel chapter 3, when you find your place, stand your feet. I know Old Testament might take you a minute, but when you find your place, stand your feet, read to honor the reading of God's Word. We're just going to read just a few verses. I got a thought, really a question. Bible question. I love those Bible questions. And I'll give you what the Lord has given me. Daniel, in the 3rd chapter. A lot of you probably already read this chapter. You've known it since Sunday school. They've done it a lot in VBS. But it's very familiar scripture that it does us good to remind ourselves of it. Let's start with verse number 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if it be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the psalter, psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Let us pray. Father, we love you this morning, and we sure thank you for bringing us here one more time, this honor and privilege, Lord, that we can get in your house with your people. And God, we pray that you'd give us a touch from heaven this morning, that you'd breathe on us. God, I pray for the message that it would be yours, not mine. Use us as an empty vessel. Fill us with your Spirit. God, I pray that you'd stir the hearts of your people today, God. I pray, Father, you'd help us to be closer to you than when we got here. And I pray, God, that you'd bless this week, the services, the revival, Brother Ken. But Father, we want to go ahead and pray for now and today. Would you move in a mighty way in this service? If there be one here that's lost, let them come to know you before it be too late. God, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you for the preaching of the gospel. I thank you for saving my soul. Help us, Father. It's all possible through Jesus' march up Calvary's hill that paid our sin debt. Lord, would you just make preaching easy this morning. Anoint us and help us and hide us behind the cross. And we'll be careful to thank you for all you do and lift our hands up to glory and thank you. In Jesus' sweet name we do pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Daniel chapter number 3. There's a question here that I like, and it's got a phrase in it, and I probably added my second part to the question. But it comes out of verse 14 after Nebuchadnezzar has pulled these three Hebrew boys to the side. And just to back it up just a little bit, we know that he made a golden image. He had all these people here. Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted unity. He wanted everybody under one mind, one accord. And God wants us that way too, but Nebuchadnezzar had other ideas. You see, he made a golden image. Was it of one of his gods or was it of himself? I don't know. But if you read in there, it tells us that his image was probably 9 foot tall and 9 foot wide. And he wanted everybody to come together. And you know, when you get a bunch of people out together, they wanted everybody to bow at one time. I think he also wanted to bow because he had his image. But I think he felt like he might bring him some kind of power to see everybody bow at what he did. And as we know through reading of the scriptures and as you've been taught before, everybody bowed except the three young Hebrew boys. And you know they stood out, right? When you got everybody in the room and if everybody bowed down to three people, you're going to notice the three people in the stage. Now, what were they? How did they keep saying? Well, I believe their conviction wouldn't let them out of this world. They were strong. They were, I guess you could say these boys had backbones of steel, I believe. They weren't going to bend.
They weren't going to bow. They deceived and were going to burn. They wanted to stand for what was right. So the question I have is, well, that verse 14 tells me to say to them, is it true? Is it true? You boys may bow. Is it true that you're not going to be in my statutes? Is it true? So I asked my second part of the question, is it true? Will you say it? Is it true this morning? What about when this time comes to you? Please don't say, well, that's just a story happening in the Bible. This probably will never happen to us. Be careful what you say will never happen to us.
That's right.
I'm telling you, our country is as close as it's ever been to getting the wrong people in the wrong offices the way they're going. There's a lot of Muslims in there. And then Muslims, they need their own thing, God.
Amen.
And they're going to pass their laws and their ways. And you know what? I don't understand all that. What gets them that way? How they're so brainwashed and what they are? But I'm telling you this. I know that my God is bigger than anything that anybody else can bring.
Amen.
And I start thinking about this. Is it true? There's going to come a time when your faith is going to be vested and you're going to have to stay with the right thing. And you need to stay strong. And I promise you, when you stay strong, the Lord's going to stay with you. Are you going to compromise with the ways of the world? And these boys had all kinds of excuses. Any excuses that you want, they have. But I'm telling you today, they did not give in to peer pressure. They did not give in to the pressures of the world. They stood strong with convictions. They had something inside them that gave them the boldness, the perseverance to stand. That's what God gives you. And then you can almost hear it now from the three Hebrew boys that were standing centuries ago when they said, don't give in. Don't give out. And don't give up.
Amen.
Stay strong for God. Stay in this thing. It's going to be rough sometimes. A lot of times we wonder when the fire comes. And you'll face furnaces today of hatred, furnaces of criticism, furnaces of temptation, furnaces of intimidation. You'll face all these things in your life. But what about when they come to you? Are you ready to stand? Are you ready to stand? All that problems have happened in my life. I'm only up in years. I've probably seen everything I'm going to see. We don't know what's wrong with we've got. We don't know what's going to happen. When you say today, what if somebody comes to you today? What if somebody comes to your neighborhood? What if something happened at your job this week? And I'm telling you, God didn't give me this by no accident. There's somebody here in this church or some of us. We need to go through some fire drops. We might be able to get put in this furnace. And it might just be through your job. It might just be through your family, but something is going to happen. Might be something that's going to go on your neighbors. We don't know. We know God knows it all.
Amen.
And the thing God wants to know is, are you going to say it? Don't give in. Don't give in this here, Craig. That's what the Lord is telling us. Look through these verses right here. Don't give in. He said in verse 12 verses, they made the statue. When they did all these mutants and all the men, everybody was supposed to bow. The little boy said, we don't bow. We ain't giving in. And you know why? I tell you what else. They had excuses. They could have said, well, the king appointed us. We owe it to. Or, we'll bow on the outside, but we'll be standing strong on the inside. That's foolish.
Amen.
Well, we're in a foreign land. We'll have to go to their customs. Lord, understand. Well, we'll just bow this one time and ask for forgiveness. They had all the excuses in the world they could have used. But they didn't. They said, we're going to stand. They was not going to give in to the peer pressure. And let me tell you something else they weren't going to get into. They weren't going to get into the spirit pressure.
Right.
When everybody else was going wrong, and they knew what was going to happen. The king made the decree. He said, if they don't bow to this statue, he said, we'll fall in a fire coming. They knew if they didn't say it, they were going to die. That's what the decree was. And he couldn't pay it. Once he made that decree, he was in there. That ain't the gun dry. I'm more mightier than their God. You know, there's a man who can give them two chances to say it, or two chances to bow, if they want to change their mind. And the Lord will give you the same thing. You might say it one time, but we beg you stuff. You might have to take out history for you. You might be ready to say it twice. There needs another opportunity. Are you sure you don't want to compromise to the world? Are you pretty sure, oh, it's not that bad. Well, everybody else is doing it. Ain't that the way it's done, Mark? Well, everybody else is doing it. Well, I ain't no different than them. Well, I'm being a little, even though we do the same thing, I go to church every time, so that must make me a better person. People didn't use that excuse. Oh, I read that in devotional every single day. I read it in the Bible, and I'll read a verse or something like that. People make excuses for everything. You better be there to stay when you're not going to
stay.
Are you willing to stay when you think? Are you willing to stay? You better be ready to stay when you think. You better go ahead and make that decision. And you better get you some guts inside of you to tell you you're going to stay no matter what.
Amen.
They didn't give in.
Get you some guts.
And they didn't give up then. How do y'all think you give up, preacher? I love this chapter in the Bible. It's where you get you some help to get in this. Look right here in verses, let's start in verse 15. Now it says, let you be ready when all these new kids, right? He said, who's your God? Shall deliver you in that verse. I missed 16, I'm sorry. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not saying, what's he saying there? He said, they don't need that answer. I'll answer anything. You keep asking, waiting. We ain't going to change our answer. You see, they didn't know that they could have excuses. But let me tell you something about these three Hebrew boys. They can read your Bible over there where Moses had pinned it down in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, which says, thou shalt have no other God before me.
Amen. Amen.
This one said, we know our Bible. We don't stand on that Bible. We know how precious this is. We're going to say it.
Amen.
And then we need to be back to us. We've got 1,000 miles. We're just saying it. We ain't going to do it.
Amen.
We ain't going to bow to the statues. We love you for this. You've been a good job. You're looking out for it. You're providing for our family. You're keeping the roof over our head of that paycheck. What did they talk about that?
Yeah,
you're going to bow their way? You're going to bow them? Are you going to stand for God?
Amen.
Let me tell you something. You stand for God, you might have to go through some things in your life. God will be there with you. He's going to provide everything that you need. The Bible said that he feeds the birds. He makes the flowers to grow. How much more are you than them? God created us out of his own image. He's going to take care of us.
Amen.
That means that everything we want, a lot of times we do. We get selfish. There's things we want. It ain't always about selfish, but there's things we think that we want. God said, I'll always take care of your needs. He'll meet the needs that we have. And these three boys in them. They said, we ain't giving in. And we ain't giving up. How do you know what it said right here? If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of life then, but it's not. Well, I love that right there. But it's not. Their faith was not based on God's performance, on what God could do. Their faith was based on God alone, in his purpose. He said, we know what we're going to do. We don't know what God's going to do. We know what we can do, but we don't know what we're going to do. But we know what we're going to do. We're going to say it. And the fact is, in the face of that, we're going to stand for God no matter what you do for us. He said, we're going to stand. I'm talking about these three boys that made a commitment in their life. They didn't just say, well, we'll try to. And you know what else? Let me just say this little nugget right here. This one little nugget. Hang on the train. All three of us stood together. There is great strength in real friendship in your life.
Amen.
You better walk forward for somebody to keep on going for God. You know why? Because they feed off each other.
That's right.
He can stay not the same.
Amen.
He's going to bow, I go back. They started, they come together, and they had such power in their voice. I believe they locked arms and looked at each other. They said, we're going on. We ain't going to bow. We're going to do it. That's why that verse in Hebrews is so important about you stay not assuming yourself together. That's why church is so important. That's why you make a commitment to God first, your family second. And your church serve. I'm not confused with people, but that's just saying, all right. God first, your family second, and your church serve. Forsake not to assemble yourself together. Why is it so important for us to assemble together? Just like these three Hebrew boys did. And I believe they had church going on wherever they said that. They said, we are here to encourage each other.
Right, yes.
If we go, we're going together. If we stand, we stand together. And if we burn up, we're going to burn up together.
Amen.
Whatever we do, we're in this thing together. The church, me and you, we're in this thing together.
Amen.
And I'm going to stand, and you're going to stand with me.
Yes, thank you.
And when we stand, I'm going to be right there standing with you. We're going to stand together. There's great strength in your presence. But you know what's greater than that? There's great strength in God.
Amen.
He said, if it be not, we don't know what God's going to do with this. We don't know what's going to happen. Now let me tell you something. Peer pressure can be strong. There were times when I was guilty when I was growing up, and girl, I fell into that peer pressure. And it ain't your fault. It was my fault for writing myself again on it. It was my fault. But peer pressure can be a whole lot different than when that peer pressure comes. These boys were facing consequences. There were consequences to come, and they knew it. This was no surprise. There was nothing left behind door number three if they didn't want to stay. They knew exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah.
They were going to die. Three young different boys. They didn't say, well, we didn't pay much of our life. Well, there's so much more than one of them. I didn't say it's married at the end. I didn't know the exact age. I don't know what they might say. Whatever it is, whatever our sufferings will be, our eternal reward is going to be much greater.
Yes, amen.
Look at this thing. Our eternal reward will be so much greater than what our sufferings are. Our sufferings are only temporary, but our reward is eternal. Our reward is eternal, Tommy. It's not temporary. We're going to go through some trials here that are temporary. The best way to be God is, and this shall come to pass. It ain't here to stay. The bad times you know it, Lord, they ain't here to stay. It's coming fast. Don't give in. And don't give up, my kids' boys right here. And then, don't give out. Once they get tired, they have to face these consequences. Look what it says. Verse 19. Then with that measure full of fury, the form of the distance was changed to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he saith to me, they should heat the furnace 1,000 times more than it wants to be healed. Hotter than they had very, very good had. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army combined, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to cast them into the burning fire furnace. Then these men were bound with their coats and their hoses and their hats and their other garments and cast them in the midst of the burning furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace was exceedingly hot. The flame of the fire split those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Boy, God's already moving right here. Y'all notice that? That's already moving. Because you might already start thinking, how in the world did it take up those men? And they got those three Hebrew boys yet. Well, let's just keep reading. Then Nebuchadnezzar came to stop our excuse. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They were bound up. Their arms, their feet, and they were swung into the fire. Go in that way. They could see the fire. They could see how high it was, how hot it was. You know, they had to feel it just a little bit. They had to see what was going on with it. They wouldn't know. They didn't know what happened if they fell into the fire. The Bible says that they were bound up. But let me tell you why you want to give up your faith. Look what it says. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, rose up in haste, spake to the counselors. Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? Then Nebuchadnezzar said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, no, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt in the form of the fourth, like the Son of God. What did the fire do? They were free of fire.
Yeah.
They were free of fire. How do you know they were free? How do you know they were free? They were free of what the world had bound them in.
Amen.
Amen. The world bound them up and ran in their feet. Once they got thrown in the fire, what happened? They had come down, they were down on their hands and their knees. And the king looked in there and he said, my goodness, what's going on? These boys, they ain't bound. They're up, walking, yeah. They're loose. They have no heart.
Amen.
They ain't burned up. He said there was a 4 foot God do right
there? Amen.
How many people went into the fire?
Three.
How many people come out of the fire?
Three.
I tell you that when your fire comes, the Lord is still there.
Amen.
He'll still be there in the fire building. The only thing that burns up is what the world put on us. That's the only thing that burns up. They were harmed. They were hindered. Everything that burned them up is all loose. And they stood. Look what it says. I love this chapter. This is why you don't get out right here. So then yesterday, the same year, the mouth of the burning fire furnace of faith, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he served the Most High God, come forth and come with him. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their head singed. Then when the coast changed, when the smell of fire passed on them. Listen to that right there. When you take a piece of those words right there, they had just been in the fire. You can't even walk around nobody that's smoking and not have that smell on you. You can't have a fire pit. You can't get around a bonfire without that smell of smoke. You gotta change your clothes. That is gonna get on you. Anything that these three need to avoid, they come out of the fire and they didn't even have a smell of fire on them. A head to God, place them out. Set their hair in the seat. My goodness. No, the coats wouldn't change. Wouldn't no smell of fire. Oh, my goodness. Ain't God something else?
Amen.
Amen. God. I'm telling you, sometimes we need to be in that fire sometimes. Don't be scared of the fire that comes in your life. There's one in there that's waiting for you to walk into the house to be saved. You know what that fire did? That fire burned up bad attitudes. It burned up bad people. It burned up the wrong things in our life. That fire helps. You see what it does? What that Bible teaches us what that fire tries to do? It's like gold. What we go do, it refines us like Job did. When he sold into that fire, it made him more God willing to be. And you know what these boys did? And the great thing about the fire, what was so much that they come out of the fire? But look how God got the glory that they see who God was.
Amen.
Right. Yes, it is. Even with their saints, they showed somebody God in the heart of the world. Then it says in Nebuchadnezzar's faith, it said in verse 28, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants to him, and had changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any God except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language, and language which speak anything amiss to God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort.
That's right.
They didn't shout the mile after God. This is not about us. When you stand, it's not about you. It's about God. And what did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say? We're going to stand. We're not going to bow. And they opened Nebuchadnezzar's eyes to God. They seen God. He's seen God. They stood for the right things. And the Bible said, there's no other God that can live by this. He said, my golden image to God that I've been serving, they wouldn't have been able to keep them out of this. And notice what he said there. He kind of answered his own question. Then he got when he said, what did he say out here? He said at the end of that verse 29, there is no other God that can deliver after these storms. But if we remember when we started reading in verse 15, it said right there at the end of it, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? He said,
that
is God.
Amen.
And not only that, look at these three Hebrew boys, they were persecuted, right, for their stand, for their standards. They were persecuted for their Savior because of what they were going to do. They were different the way they lived. They were not going wrong with the world. They were probably laughed, mocked at. They just know, you know you want to die. Won't you just go ahead and just sit down and die with us? And just be a part of us, not be on time when we say, you can always come back and just pray tonight when you get home and just call God. God forgive you for that. Your word says, the Bible forgives you, right? There's a time to stand. And these boys say, it's time to pray.
Amen.
He said, we're going to save it. And we don't care what it costs us. And not only did it not cost them their life, right? Because they were persecuted and promoted. Or that's the servant. They were promoted. Persecuted, preserved, and promoted. Just like the first revival. Then if he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the prophets, the kind of one. Their faith brought deliverance. Their faith brought protection. Their faith brought reward. And their faith brought glory to God.
Amen.
They were ready to stay with God. I wonder today, how many of you are ready to make a commitment to God? Where's your commitment lie? We've all made commitments. We all make commitments. Everybody makes a commitment towards something in life, right? You say you're going to do something for somebody, you're pretty much ready to commit. You want to be together in a relationship, you're pretty much ready to commit. What about your commitment to God today? What about your commitment to where He wants you to be? What about your commitment to church? I'm telling you, I've been excited about where the kids coming this week, and I think God's going to move them in my life.
Amen.
And it's bigger this week that your Bible's going to have somebody. And what you hear this week, what God might have spoke to you today, and what you'll hear this week, might get you ready for your fire trial that's coming. James talked about that. Remember when he talked about that? When various trials, when various trials come, he said, when? And he didn't say, yes. He said, when they're coming? Oh, there's trials coming.
Amen.
Yes, I believe there's God who shall suffer persecution. You try to think the right thing, you're going to do the right thing. But I'm glad God is right there with us.
Amen.
There is a song where God does a thing, but everybody else falls out. That's what He wants here.
Amen.
Well, ain't that song? When everybody else walks out, He walks in. I'm glad that there's one that's going to stand with me today. What about you, Daddy? Is it true? Is it true about the world? Are you saying? Or will you give in to the way of the world? Will you give in to the way of the world so you can keep the job or you can keep the paycheck coming? Well, I'm a father, I'm a husband, everything depends on me and I do. I better make sure that I keep money going. Let me tell you something, your job as a father and a husband is to be a leader of the house. And to be a leader of the house means you need to have God with you.
That's right.
You ain't no leader without God. Matter of fact, Jesus said that we can do that. John 15. Without me, you can do nothing. Without God, there is absolutely nothing that I can do. With God, I can do all things through Christ. With Christ, the strength of me. I can do all things through Christ. The strength of me. I love that verse too. Through Christ. All the things I can do. It's pretty hard to say in preacher. You've got to do those things with God. You gotta ask Jesus to help you. He'll give you the boldness you need. As a matter of fact, to be a Christian today, there is somewhere here, and I thought I know it. It's almost like whatever you tolerate today is what's going to be tomorrow.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't understand, and they just learned it. What tolerate means is, well, it's okay. Everybody's values got to be equal. Everybody's lifestyles, everybody's standards, everybody's faith. You tolerate an equal faith. They don't know that. What's right and right? What's wrong and wrong? Jesus says, I'm the way to serve your life. There's no way you get to heaven without Jesus. But the Bible says, the Bible says the Bible is authority in life. That's your instruction, guys. That's your instruction in the life of the Bible.
Amen.
And I'm going to stand for it. And it might be one day that I'm going to die for it. But whatever they do to me, you know what? It might come a day, you know what? They might throw me in prison for preaching God's word. They might throw me in the courthouse. I don't know what they'll do. But whatever my sufferings come by staying with God is just temporary. My reward is eternal. That's why we say it, because your reward will be eternal. Mr. Lawrence, can you come to the piano, please? Let's all say this morning. Maybe you just need to come pray. Maybe you've got some things going on in your life and you feel it's hard for you to stand. Maybe you're going through some things in your life that you just don't understand. And there's nothing wrong with asking questions in life. There's a lot of things in questions. But when's the last time you just fell down and asked God to give you some wisdom, to give you some direction, to give you some guidance of what you need in your life? Maybe you know somebody today that's going through a fiery furnace and you just want to come pray for them. These altars are open this morning. Do you know anybody that's lost that needs to be saved? Would you come pray for them?
Would you come and pray for yourself today that God would give you the boldness to stand when that time comes? You know what? Everything might be going so well in your life. No problems, no issues. Everything might be well at your home, in your marriage, at your job. Everything might be just be going well. I tell you, how you live your life shows what you think of God, what He means to you. It shows how precious your salvation is. What you do. What do you need today? You might have something else going on today. You just might need to pray. I tell you this much, if you're here today, if you're lost, that trial comes. You burn in this fire. You're not going there. Today would be a good day to get saved if you're lost. And when that trial comes, and you know what? You are persecuted for your faith. And God carries you on home. Pay attention, church. When God carries you on home, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. Have anything on your heart this morning, would you just come pray?